إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة
والسلام. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم، ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر أصابته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, while the precise moment of Qiyamah undoubtedly remains a mystery, none can deny the signs and the symbols of Qiyamah have become more apparent, vivid and manifest. In the hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel alayhi salam appeared before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and had a lengthy dialogue and asked a host of questions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of which was, Mata sa'a? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when is Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the answer by saying, Mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama minas sa'ili. The person being asked, that is me, is no more learned than the one asking. In other words, the precise moment of Qiyamah only remains in the knowledge of Allah. The second question of Jibreel was, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Okay, tell me some about the signs of Qiyamah. To which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. When a slave girl will give birth to her mistress. وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّائِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. And when people who lack respect and honor and dignity will suddenly amass wealth and put up high, high buildings and enjoy great, great privileges. The first explanation, when a slave girl will give birth to her mistress, scholars explain, when offspring will dominate over their parents. When juniors will govern their seniors, then Qiyamah is close. إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. When undeserving people will be given noble posts, then Qiyamah is close. In the riwayat of Bukhari, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. The final hour will not be established until earthquakes do not become a common feature. The final hour of Qiyamah will not be established until earthquake and tremors become a common feature. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also said that Qiyamah will not take place until a man will come to the grave, not to pay his respects to his late brother, not to sympathize with the deceased. فَيَتَمَرَّضْ. My Nabi says he will turn in the soil of that grave, and then he will address his deceased brother and he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَكَانَ صَاحِبِ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. O my brother, I wish I was the dweller of the grave and you were on earth. I wish I was the occupant of this grave. I wish I was the inmate of this grave. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ. The Nabi of Allah then says, don't assume that this was out of the passion of meeting Allah. No, no, it will be as a result of the mounting pressure of material commitment that he will prefer dying than living in this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says he will stand there and he will desire passionately that, oh my brother, I wish I was in your place and you were in my place. The hadith that I have quoted before you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, لَا يَتَمَنَّيَنَّ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ لِضُرٍّ أَصَابَتْهُ. None of you should ever desire death as a result of material adversity. None of you should ever desire. If his problems and difficulties and adversities bring him to a point that he no longer wants to live, as we see today, it was assumed, it was hoped, it was imagined that the day I will own a better car and have a bigger house and have the latest appliances, it will put an end to misery and anxiety in my life, only to know those are the very causes of anxiety and depression in my life. Only to know those are the very causes. If perchance you do not want to live, given the difficulties, the Nabi of Allah says, the maximum flexibility there is in the matter, You can make the following dua. اللهم أحيني ما كانت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني إذا كانت الوفاة خيرا لي. Allah, let me live as long as life is good, and I guess when it's better for me to go, take me away, oh Allah. Let me give you some chilling statistics in relation to the present day world with regards to depression, which is the contributing factor to suicide, which is my topic of today. In 1973, they say the World Health Organization had released its statistics that 3% of the world population suffered severe depression, going back to the early 70s. In 1978, 5 years later, that figure had risen to 5%. In 1981, I have these articles. In 1981, there was a conference held in Chicago on mental disorders. And the chairman of that conference at that time had announced that according to research, it has been proven that at that time, 100 million people across the globe suffered severe depression. A decade later, this was multiplied and increased. They say, one would imagine that when we talk of depression and suicide, maybe it happens in the heart of Africa, where people are living in abject poverty, where they have no food. But the statistics are somehow so perplexing and startling in this regard, that suicide is more common amongst people living in first world countries, people coming from urban areas. 1 out of every 4 Americans is a victim of severe depression. Never mind the ordinary American. There was a report that leaked out regarding the former president, one of the former presidents of the United States, and to be explicit regarding Ronald Reagan, that in the latter part of his life after 70s, he had become a victim of immense depression. And the same is even said regarding Napoleon Bonaparte, that while he was in exile, it was depression that had claimed his life. I read an article about a German woman not too long ago who had killed 3 of her own children and then committed suicide herself. When an investigation was launched into the matter, again it surfaced severe depression. So she felt that no, rather let my children, in inverted commas, die the peaceful way, as they talk of euthanasia, the mercy killings. As a result of severe depression, this is what she had done. Now if you read the Star just about 2 weeks ago, it's supposed to be anti-suicide awareness. There was a long write-up in the Star regarding the statistics of suicide in our youth, suicidal youth. There is a suicide analyst who heads the organization, South African Depression and Anxiety Group, who is based in Durban. According to his research, on an average every day, 20 to 25 youngsters commit suicide in South Africa itself, which potentially will claim the lives of 7,000 youngsters this year alone, which is classified as the third biggest killer amongst youth. He says anyone under the age of 35, I have this article just about 2 weeks ago, anyone under the age of 35 is very prone to suicide. Girls between the age of 15 and 19 plan suicide more than boys. However, boys resort to more violent measures, jumping from a cliff or shooting themselves. Girls would maybe just overdose themselves. A person who is suffering HIV/AIDS is at a 16% greater chance of committing suicide than anyone else who is not suffering the sickness. Furthermore, he writes, nowadays they have launched a program when death impacts on your school, and that is to enrich and empower learners when they faced with a crisis where a fellow colleague has committed suicide. And that's not all. In Japan, a study has proven that the internet has become an ideal tool for these depressed, isolated youth to find an accomplice to perpetrate the crime. So what happens, there are some suicide websites where these people that are depressed and are lonely and are despondent, they find company and they commit suicide in this way. There was a book that was authored, The Complete Suicide Manual, and it was rated the best seller in Japan for 1 entire year. Brothers, I can continue giving statistics. You know what brings me to this topic? Allah forgive and Allah save us, that suicide has become a reality even in the Muslim Ummah. You know, we can imagine when non-Muslims who don't understand Akhirat, like the Urdu poet says it so beautifully, ab to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge, mar ke bhi chain na paya to kidhar jayenge. Now as a point of frustration, you say, I want to blow myself and kill myself. But my question to you is, even if after death, if it only intensifies and complicates matter even further, then what have you achieved? Recently, we have had a spate of incidents where, unfortunately, in our own community also, certain youth have committed this crime. Someone said it so beautifully that undoubtedly we all go through fluctuation of emotions and we go through depression. An intelligent man is not one who can increase his profit, but rather one who can transform his losses into profits. That is an intelligent man. I had a personal experience with a friend of mine way back in the early 90s on my first trip to Australia. There was a young boy who used to attend my programs and developed a very good relation with me. Then I went back in the late 90s and again the relation continued. He went through some crisis in his marriage life. I went again in 2000, I met up with him and we had a good relation. Things were taking shape. And when I got back, it was very sad for me to hear that unfortunately he had committed suicide, a person who I stayed with very closely. I was once in North America where there was a conference held with regards to the alarming statistics of how common suicide has become among the North Americans. And there were hosts of speakers and I also was given an opportunity to speak there. Hence, brothers, this is a reality that is staring at us. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت. None of you should ever desire death. Perhaps many of us are those that will say that we will never entertain the thought of suicide. However, there are very few of us that don't desire death as a result of difficulty and material difficulties and adversity. In the battle of Badr, when my Nabi stood up and he exhorted the Sahaba, they have great goals in their life, they have great objectives. We are talking of you that are depressed, that are isolated, that are, you know, have absolutely no goal and have no gumption in life and then decide to put a gun on themselves or jump from a cliff. Nabi alayhi salam exhorts the Sahaba, قُومُوا إِلَىٰ جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Advance toward that paradise, the width of which is equivalent to the heavens and the earth. So this Sahabi stands up and he's saying, بَخٍ بَخٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You know, like we would say, wow, wow. Nabi Sassam says, مَا يَحْمِلُكَ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِكَ بَخٍ. Umar, what makes you say this bakhin? He says, رَجَىٰ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. The sheer hope that Allah made me among them. Nabi Sassam says, well, you have it from me, you are among the dwellers of Jannah. Is it only Nabi of Allah, is it confirmed? Nabi Sassam says, yes. He takes out a packet in which he has few dates. He says, لَإِنْ حَيِّيتُ حَتَّى أَكُلَ مِنْ تَمَرَاتِ هَذِهِ إِنَّهَا لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلَةٌ. When martyrdom is staring at me, and the battle is ferocious, and the Nabi of Allah is exhorting, and Jannah is staring at me, am I going to eat these dates and then digest it and prolong martyrdom? No, no, he throws it, and he advances. The riwayat of Ibn Jarir, he then sings couplets, رَكْزًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ إِلَّا التُّقَى وَعَمَلِ الْمَعَادِ وَالصَّبْرِ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجِهَادِ وَكُلُّ زَادٍ عُرْضَةٌ نِفَادِ غير التقى والبر والرشاد. That I throw myself into the thick of this battle with no material provision other than trust in Allah. For verily that is what will aid man and all other provisions will be exhausted. So the key issue is those who commit suicide as a result of the depression of this world. There are two times when it is correct. One is when a person passionately desires meeting Allah. That is encouraged in the hadith that every believer should anticipate meeting Allah. And the other instance is when a person fears that in relation to the vice and the sin and the exposure and the vulnerability of the world, he fears that he will not able to diligently honor the orders of Allah. Oh Allah, the times have become too trying and too challenging. I doubt I'm going to survive these temptations. I beg of you, oh my Allah, take me away so that I do not become a victim of committing any crime. There is concession regarding desiring death on such an occasion. And the best example to cite in this regard is none other than the Virgin Mary, which Allah speaks about in Surah Maryam. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَقَادُ إِلَىٰ جِذْعِ النَّقْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. That when she had conceived miraculously, and the time had come for her to give birth, and her labor pain drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. Now can you imagine, our sisters, our wives are giving birth in the best of clinics, with a gynecologist around, with a husband to pet her, and again what they talk of antenatal depression and postnatal depression, I don't even know all those things, depression related to everything, whereas previously it was never heard of. So now there's some form of counseling related to birth and before birth and after birth, and there's a host of issues related to it. Imagine this woman, isolated, alone, in a place called Baytul Laham, which they refer to as Bethlehem, somehow north of Baytul Muqaddas, approximately 8 kilometers. and she is sitting there. And at that time she feared that the accusations of people against her, that you have committed a crime of zina, you're an adulteress, you're an immoral woman. So she said this here in a moment of desperation, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya. Oh Allah, I don't know if I will live up to honor and resist adequately these accusations. I wish I had died many, many years ago. And I guess people had forgotten me. Nay, I wish they had also forgotten the fact that they had forgotten me. So at this juncture, it was correct. Scholars write the permissibility was in relation to the fact that she was afraid she will not able to resist it. However, as a result of material depression, it is not correct to entertain the thought of death, never mind to commit suicide. Let me take you through a few ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give you a glimpse of the severity of this crime. May Allah save one and all. Imam Muslim makes mention of it in first volume Kitabul Iman. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man qatala nafsahu bihadidatin. That person who commits suicide with any steel object. فَحَدِيدَتُهُ فِي يَدِهِ. That knife will be given back to him after he dies. يَتَوَجَّأُ بِهَا فِي بَطْنِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ. He will continue stabbing himself, suffering the agony of death, but he will never die. How long? خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. He will dwell there for eternity, never to come out. These are the words of the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then second one, وَمَنْ شَرِبَ سَمَّنْ. That person who takes poison. Today, how many youth drug themselves? I mean, the very symptoms of these drugs is, when a person experiences withdrawal symptoms, is the crave of suicide. Those are one of the first symptoms that would manifest in such a person. Nabi alayhi salam says, وَمَنْ شَرِبَ سَمَّنْ. Whoever takes any poison or overdoses himself, فَهُوَ يَتَحَسَّاهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. He or she will continue drinking that poison, remaining in Jahannam forever and ever, suffering the agony of death without dying. You know, just to digress for a second, Allah speaks about the severity of a torment of the dweller of Jahannam. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. Allah says that when they will be in severe thirst, they will be made to drink the blood and the pus from the organs of their body. It will not be palatable, hence they cannot drink it. But the thirst will compel them for a liquid. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. He will try and swallow it. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ. But it will not go beyond his throat. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. The severity of death will approach him from every angle. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. But he will never die. Can we imagine the severity? Furthermore, Nabi alayhi salam says, وَمَنْ تَرَدَّى مِنْ جَبَلٍ. That person who jumps from a cliff, فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ, and then kills himself, فَهُوَ يَتَرَدَّى فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. He will continue dropping in the depths of Jahannam, suffering the agony of death, but he will never die. That's the first hadith. Although scholars say that it is hoped in relation to other quotations, that because this man believed in Allah, he will not live in Jahannam for eternity, and ultimately Allah will relieve him and free him from Jahannam. But the fact remains that the text of the hadith denotes the word eternity that is sufficient to deter every sane-minded human and every sane-minded Muslim. Second part of the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَانَ رَجُلٌ مِمَّنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. In Muslim Sharif, there was a person in the previous nation who was diagnosed with some sickness. خَرَجَتْ بِهِ طَرْحَةٌ. A certain boil and ulcer that shot out on his body. The pain became very difficult for him in relation to euthanasia, mercy killings. And this person could no longer bear it patiently. He found the pain to be very, very challenging upon himself. فَأَخَذَ سَهْمًا مِنْ كِنَانَتِهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he took out an arrow from his quiver. فَنَكَ لَهَا. And he started interfering with that wound and that cut and that sore, deliberately to induce death upon himself. In the riwayat of Bukhari, فَلَمْ يَرْقَ الدَّمْ. The blood started flowing profusely, which ultimately claimed his life. Allah then said, بَادَرَنِي عَبْدِي بِنَفْسِهِ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. My servant decided when he wants to die, then I will decide there's no jannat for him. My servant decided when he wants to die, I have decided there's no Jannah for him. The next hadith also in Muslim Sharif and in Bukhari. I can quote to you quotation upon quotation. What a complete faith Allah has favored us with. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, one riwayat Sahal ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu says, we were with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One riwayat suggests Khaybar, one riwayat suggests Hunayn. فَلَمَّا مَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَىٰ عَسْكَرِهِ وَمَالَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ إِلَىٰ عَسْكَرِهِمْ. As the battle enraged and it commenced and people took their strategic positions, وَفِي أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I can still remember very clearly, very explicitly, there was one person in the companions of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَا يَدَعُ لَهُمْ شَذَّةً وَلَا فَذَّةً إِلَّا اتَّبَعَهَا يَضْرِبُهَا بِسَيْفِهِ. Who fought very vehemently, very fiercely. Anyone who came before him, he would behead him to such an extent that the general Sahaba admired him and said, "Ma ajza'a minna al-yawm ahadun kama ajza'a fulanun." None has displayed the vigor and the enthusiasm of this man. Look at how confident he is. Look at how many people have died at his hand. Nabi alayhi salam overheard the comment in the midst of the battle. He said, "Listen, while this remains your option, let me tell you what is my viewpoint. Ama innahu min ahli an-nar." That very man is destined for the hellfire. فَكَادَ بَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَنْ يَرْتَابُ. There was a sense of silence. That a man who's fighting on our side against the infidels, contributing to the condition of the Muslims, yet the Nabi of Allah turns around and says that he is in Jahannam. One Sahabi says, I came from the rear and I said, أَنَا صَاحِبُهُ أَبَدًا. I'm going to follow this man. I can definitely say something very strange is going to be the outcome of this man. His apparent situation indicates the noblest form of contribution. On the other hand, the Nabi of Allah makes a statement that this man is destined for hell. So I'm just going to wait and see which way his faith takes him. So anyway, I started following him. كُلَّمَا وَقَفَ وَقَفَ كُلَّمَا أَسْرَعَ أَسْرَعَ. When he advanced, I also advanced. When he paused, I paused. I said, I want to see what is the outcome of this man. You know, apparently what happens and what is the reality? And suddenly an arrow came from the rear and struck him. When it struck him from the rear, the pain became unbearable. He was close to martyrdom with that arrow. But at that critical moment, he could no longer bear the little pain that was ultimately going to claim his life. He took out his sword and he committed suicide there and there. The Sahabi came running to Nabi alayhi salam. He said, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Once again, Allah gives us an opportunity to renew our faith that you are the true Nabi of Allah. Within minutes, Allah has proved the authenticity of your words. Nabi alayhi salam said, وَمَا ذَاكَ? What's the matter? He said, الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي ذَكَرْتَ عَانِفًا. That man regarding whom you said that he's in Jahannam. And there was a sense of confusion among the Sahaba. I decided to follow him. And Allah made it such how things took the different direction that ultimately this man committed suicide. Nabi alayhi salam said, now you do me a favor, stand up and make the following announcement. Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-din bir-rajul al-fajir. Don't judge a man by his apparent condition. Many a times Allah will promote his deen at the hands of evil people also. Here is a typical explanation. Furthermore, tell the people, more than often you will find people, and this is a hadith that should give us a shiva, where people will engage in actions which ultimately would reflect that they are heading for Jannah. Yet prior to death, they will commit a sin which will warrant their entry into Jahannam. So this is an area of concern for us, brothers. It is important that we look into our lives and we reflect. We introspect, we ask ourselves questions. The greatest contributing factor to it, if you read, is depression. They say, who are the youngsters that will commit suicide? A boy at the age of 12 whose mother has died out of HIV/AIDS. A child who's been, a girl who's been repeatedly abused by her father. A child who's seen his brother being violently killed by a mob. These are the type of children that potentially are more prone and more susceptible to commit suicide. You know, it's sad, it sounds like a joke, but it's a reality. A person suffering, everything in his life is dark and negative. His mother died, his father, you know, died in a nasty way. His brother was killed, his sister was kidnapped. They say the only thing positive in his life is HIV. It sounds like a joke, brothers, but that's the reality of what is happening to his life. The only thing positive. So what else is left in the life of this youngster? Now, if you look at the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do away with depression, what a beautiful faith Allah has given us. Let's look at one, two things. Just briefly, I leave you with something that can enhance you, empower you, enrich you. that we come out of the stage of depression. Look at what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Nobody has to doubt the fact that depression is from shaitan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something much higher than that. Al-utasu min Allah wa tata'ubu min ash-shaytan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sneezing is from Allah, yawning is from the devil. What did the Nabi of Allah say? Yawning. Depression is a much more advanced level. Scholars explain why. Why is sneezing from Allah? When a person sneezes and he flushes that mucus out of his body, it brings freshness. It brings strength in his body which will motivate him to Allah's obedience. When he yawns, it brings laziness. He becomes lethargic, which takes him away from Allah. So if the Nabi of Allah says yawning, hence the Nabi of Allah said that when your brother sneezes, then answer his greeting. And when you want to yawn, then try and suppress it because it's from the devil. So when yawning is a reflection of the devil, then can you imagine what is depression? And it has become the strongest tool of the enemy of Islam. It has become the strongest tool of the devil to make infiltrate and to make inroads. Let's look at one, two advisors of Nabi al-Islam very briefly. Nabi al-Islam has taught us today many a times we are depressed when we dwell in the past. We live over the past, the miseries of the past, the pain of the past. Nabi alayhi salam says, take all precautions, but when something has happened contrary to your desires, la taqul law, don't ever say if. If I did this, if I knew, if only you told me. Because as soon as you will use the word if, you will give grounds for the devil to infiltrate and lead you to depression. I've mentioned this to so many people and it has been such pertinent and such valuable advice. That the thing is over, let's look forward. Let's see how we can take the matter forward. But dwelling on the past, Nabi alayhi salam says, you are opening your ground for the devil to come and plant his seed there and take you ultimately to depression. The second thing, someone said it so beautifully, that if you do four things, you will save yourself from depression. Number one, don't moan and groan regarding Allah's decree in your favor. Don't moan and groan. What did Nabi alayhi salam say, the dua in Hizbul Adam? Allahumma ardini bima qadaytali. وبارك لي فيما قدر لي حتى لا أحب تعجيل ما أخرت ولا تأخير ما عجلت. Oh Allah, bless me with inner contentment on your decree in my favor. And then bless me with what you've decided for me so that I don't desire adjustment in what you've planned out for me, Allah. I don't desire alteration. I wish it was like this, or rather, make me happy that I'm happy. I don't wish to reverse the situation, to rearrange the matter, O Allah. I heard a report on radio this week. A survey was conducted in South Australia. I like to follow these statistics, it doesn't give me any confidence in what I'm saying, but many of our so-called intellectual-minded people like to relate to these theories. A survey was conducted in South Australia. I heard it this week. On 80 girls ranging from the age of 6 to 8. Regarding their life and their health, and it was brought to their notice that 47% of those girls were unhappy with their figure at the age of 6. 47% of the girls at the age of 6. Prior to this, it was assumed that this theory and crave and consciousness only kicks in when a girl is in her teens. This research has now proven that a girl at the age of 6 has become conscious, what they talk of, cutting the levels of obesity. What they say, the typical American mentality is to cut down on the levels of obesity. Can I have a double cheesy burger and a Diet Coke? So girls at the age of 6 are not happy with their figure. And the key component of this is media exposure. That's the first thing. The second thing is, don't ever sin without repenting. Don't ever sin with. The third thing is, don't hate people for the ni'mat Allah has given them. Don't hate people for, that is depression. You will find, my time is over. A greedy man and a jealous man are perpetually depressed. Those are perpetually depressed individuals. And that is what Shaitan told Nuh alayhi salam. There are two angles through which I capture anyone and everyone. One is jealousy. After all, jealousy took me where I ended. And the second thing was, out of greed. The whole of Jannah was permissible for Adam, only one forbidden tree. But I made inroads through greed, and this is how I destroyed him. And when you will give up jealousy, Allah will give you that inner joy. Imam Ismail says, I met a villager who was living up to 120. I said, Ma atwala umrik, I salute your good health. What is the formula? We'll say jog, exercise, jump. He said, No, taraktul hasada fa baqitu. You know, my heart doesn't carry jealousy for anyone. Because of that, Allah gave me perpetual good health. I have never suffered any problem. Only one formula, I don't harbor jealousy for anyone. Don't hate people for the ni'mat that Allah has given them. Number four, don't turn yourself away from Allah, and Allah will, otherwise Allah will forget you. I leave you with one last advice, brothers. I have personally seen this in my own life. When we try and do good to someone, you will find that this will enrich your life more than the receiver. It will benefit the benefactor more than the receiver. It is time we stop waiting for favors to be done to us and we start showing favors to others. Before it will benefit that man, I swear by Allah, it will make you feel nice. You will sigh with joy. You will have an inner happy feeling when you sleep down that Alhamdulillah, today Allah has given me the ability to help someone. And through this, Allah will take depression away from you. Nabi Sassim has also taught us to make the following dua after namaz. Rub in your forehead. Allahumma adhib anni alhamma wal huzn. That, oh Allah, remove depression from me. I leave you with one more thing that I want to mention. Perhaps many of us know of our sons or relatives that had become a victim of this year. There is hope for such parents. Let us not close the doors upon such parents. My message is don't commit suicide. But those of us whose children have died this way, it is our belief that he is still a Muslim according to the riwayat of Muslim Sharif. He will be, his janaza namaz will be performed and he will be buried in the Muslim cemetery. So those parents who had unforeseen circumstances, the doors of mercy are open. Allah is forgiving. Make dua to Allah and give sadaqah. And we hope that this inshallah will help the situation of your son. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He save us from an unpleasant death. And favor us with the blessed death in a manner that we are happy to meet him. وآخر الدعوان عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.